podcast in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. It's 17-10 anytime. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello and welcome along to The Punt podcast. One-liners galore this week as the chief football correspondent at The Times, Oliver Kay, joins us to talk about the state of Everton Football Club and Rio Ferdinand's foray into professional boxing. We'll have bets in the Championship and Leagues 1 and 2, courtesy of that three-headed monster, Pete Farris, Gav Puchalski and Al Ross. But first, the deadly duo alongside myself, Dave Kellner, who admittedly have on occasion misfired early in the season. It is Derek McGovern and William Hill's head of in-play football trading, Andy Excel. First of all, a warm welcome to Derek McGovern. Good morning to you.
Good morning, chaps. I always chuckle as in, you know, when you're listening to that spiel at the head of this bulletin, all those different voices, and the guy, you have to tell me who it is, saying, well, there's an obvious map. There's a team in great form at home against a team who aren't very good. I mean, if it was only that easy.
Andy, how are you?
Good, thanks. Yeah, licking my wounds from last night after particularly UK results were terrible for us, but we'll recover.
I'm sure. Let's get stuck into this week then. West Ham versus Spurs is first up. 12:30 kick-off on Saturday. West Ham are 9-2 to win the game. They draw 14-5 with Spurs 8-13. Enhanced odds, Harry Kane and Dele Alli both to score was 14-5. That's been enhanced to 4-1. And if you think Javier Hernandez is going to score in a Hammers win, that was 7-1. That's been boosted out to 9-1. West Ham have bounced back a little as well. Slaven Bilic not under quite as much pressure as he was with the points picked up against Huddersfield and West Brom working in his favour. And they had a convincing League Cup win against Bolton. Spurs have looked a little toothless with a 0-0 draw against Swansea and only beating Barnsley 1-0 at Wembley in the League Cup. The plus for Spurs, Derek, is they are away from home. They've beaten Newcastle and Everton away in the Premier League this season, scoring 5 without conceding. So it might be a blessing in disguise that they're travelling to the London Stadium this weekend.
Possibly. On this season's evidence, you'd say yes. But on last season's evidence, you wouldn't. Spurs away from home for a team that finished second. Their record was pretty poor. In fact, they failed to win more games than they actually won on the road this season. And, you know, I think there's only 9 games they won away from home out of 19, which is not great for the runners-up. So Tottenham are this team that, you know, now they're getting priced up the way Liverpool in their pomp were, Man United in their pomp were, away from home, long odds on. But they're not a team I would trust at any stage. I didn't trust them last week when they were silly odds against Swansea, and I was right to do so. And I think they're underpriced again here. West Ham, 9-2. This is a big game for West Ham. This is their derby match, isn't it, against Tottenham. And if anything is going to get them out of their stupor, it's this game. The fans will be up for it. And let's not forget, they've played only one game at home this season at the London Stadium, a ground where we thought they were questionable, and they won it. They played 4 matches away from home. It's away from home where their troubles begin. There's so many good things this week. I hardly know where to start, so I won't. But I'm going to say that West Ham, at 13-10 with a goal start, is really something to bet on. One other thing I would say about this game, last season when Dele Alli was being lauded as the next Messi, I was thinking, he ain't. And I tell you what, he's playing this season like a man believing his own publicity. I think he's been brought down to earth with a crash this season, Dele Alli.
Do check out those handicap markets. Lots of betting available as per usual on the William Hill website and on the app. This is a hashtag your odds game. So if you want to tweet at William Hill with your bet, the traders will price it up. One of those traders sitting opposite me in the studio is Andy Excel. Andy, Tottenham have actually been beaten in 3 of their last 4 Premier League trips to West Ham, which is interesting. Sheringham plays into Derek's thought process of backing the Hammers plus one in this match?
Well, yeah, this is the first of... I can see Derek's Derek's eyes are lighting up. There's trap fixtures for all the big teams this weekend. It's a coupon I'm looking at with hope, whereas I looked at last night's with dread. So I'm sort of with him with West Ham on 9-2. I think they're a fraction big. I mean, Spurs drew last week, but they were burdened with my tip, which was semi-deliberate. there's been plenty of 1-0s between these two teams, which when I looked that up, it actually surprised me, because you'd think there'd be goals in these games, but generally there hasn't. But I just think West Ham are a bit big here at 9-2.
West Ham, the player for both Derek and Andy. Let's move on to Leicester versus Liverpool, which is 5:30 kickoff on Saturday evening. Leicester are 14-5 to win this game. The draw 13-5 with Liverpool 10-11. Some enhanced odds: Roberto Firmino and Jamie Vardy both to score was 9-2. That's been enhanced to 6-1. And if you think both teams are going to score in the first half, that was 100-30. It's been boosted, hey, with William Hill to 4-1. And it's a quirk of the fixtures that Liverpool travel to the King Power for the second time in 4 days. But there'll be plenty of changes made in both teams when you compare the team sent out on Saturday to those in the League Cup. Liverpool were beaten 2-0 by Leicester on Tuesday night. But Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain played in that match, so the result was an inevitability, Andy.
Well, yeah, if you listen to the boy McGovern, if I can call him the boy. Leicester have also won the last two seasons this fixture, 3-1 and 2-0. So again, I think it's just got trap written all over it. Sadio Mane's missing again. This is his last game of his suspension. So I think Leicester again are a bit big. So I think you've got to look at them. Like I say, as a cheery old bookie, I'm looking at these thinking, nobody's going to get an acre up this
weekend. You're thinking it's a good week, aren't you?
Oh, I'm really looking forward to this one from a business point of view.
Just to elaborate on the Sadio Mane statistic as well, with a statistic, they've actually won 2.13 points per game in the Premier League since the start of last season, when Sadio Mane has started games, 30 of them in total, compared to just 1.54 points per game without him starting in that period. Admittedly, that's a small sample size, 13 games. That's a stat from Opta. But he is a player, Derek, that they seriously miss. And just a heads up here, if you want to search for Oxlade-Chamberlain highlights on Twitter, if you've got a spare 2 minutes and you're feeling a little down, that'll cheer you up no end, because his performance was hilariously bad on Tuesday night, Derek.
It was, and you know, if this guy had come in on a free, you'd be questioning the manager to pay 40 million for him. Well, you know, no matter how highly you rate Jurgen Klopp, that is the most questionable transfer move of all time. It makes Andy Carroll, a 35 million, look an absolute snip. I just don't know why he offers the guy. He couldn't get it. This is a guy who wants to play central midfield ahead of the likes of Georgina Wijnaldum, Henderson, Lallana, Coutinho. He couldn't get a game above Theo Walcott at Arsenal. I'm seriously worried how Klopp can think he's any kind of a player. There was a fan on the radio calling Jurgen Klopp a clown after last week's draw. I don't think he is, but you know when he went to Leicester this week, he took a 22-man squad all in his car. So there's something in it. He was so frustrated by their inability to break down Burnley on Saturday. They're on a touchline, he booted a bottle of water and it covered a nearby fan in confetti. I mean, what's going on? I have to say that Liverpool at 10-11, have the bookies not been watching them defend this season? No, nobody has. Nobody's seen them defend. It's an absolute joke of a price. People are saying that. People are actually blaming now. They can't believe the defence is as bad as everybody's saying. So they're saying, well, we need a new holding midfielder. No, they don't. They need a holding goalie. I mean, everything bad about defensive football is seen in Liverpool's back four. And I think 7-2, Leicester. Okay, they were mulled in the first half. Coutinho was like from a different planet. But they've got different personnel this week on Saturday. So have Liverpool, I know. They've won the fixture twice and the 7-2. They won a title 2 seasons ago, the 7-2. I can't believe it.
He's trying to nick a few quid off you as well. They're actually 14-5, Derek, so not quite 7-2.
Yeah, and Andy will give us 7-2. Surely you do that. I've come to the conclusion.
They're known for the generosity bookmakers, aren't they, Derek?
Jurgen Klopp is very slowly turning into Arsene Wenger. That's a huge worry. It'll please his bank manager, but it doesn't please Liverpool fans.
Do you know, I was listening to that, and I was listening to what Derek was saying, and I think you could just substitute Arsenal for Liverpool in everything he was saying recent years. Do you know what I mean? It sounds like the same commentary.
It's too early for that, isn't it, Derek, to think about getting Jurgen Klopp out?
Well, yeah, there's enough goodwill in the bank because when he arrived, you know, he's lost some big players, hasn't he, Jurgen Klopp? But it's so obvious what the problem is. The defence, and he's paying $40 million for Oxlade-Chamberlain. I just can't get my head around that. I cannot get my head around that. He's trying to say that there was no one better. When he couldn't get Virgil van Dijk, there was no one better at the back than what he already had. Well, in that case, why pay $40 million for Oxlade-Chamberlain? Because he's no better than what we already had at midfield. That's an absolute guarantee.
Alex Dunn here, looking forward to the best of the European action this weekend. And guess what, listeners? The European Football Podcast had a winning nap last week. Thank goodness. It was a short price, and to be honest, I'm not going to go much bigger on this occasion, because I'm Alex Dunn, and I do what I want. We've got Real Betis. They're at home to Levante, and it's on Monday night, this game. And Real Betis come here, of course, off the back of that sensational win at Real Madrid. The perfect away performance, it was called, where they soaked up pressure, defended well, hit them on the counter-attack in the 94th minute, and went on to win at the Bernabeu. Incredible result there. Can they replicate that at home? I think they probably can. They come up against a Levante side who typically do struggle on the road. They don't tend to win matches, basically, particularly not at this level. They got promoted recently. They've had a decent enough start to the campaign, but I think they'll meet their match here. And Real Betis, just under even money, are worth a bet, and the best bet in Europe across the course of the weekend. That's coming up on Monday night. Real Betis to beat Levante.
Now, let's move on to Sunday's live game, Brighton versus Newcastle. And Brighton are 17-10, the draw 21-10 with Newcastle 7-4. Toma Hemed to score and Brighton to win was 7-2. That's been enhanced to 4-1. And if you think Newcastle are going to continue their good run, Newcastle to score in both halves was 15-4. That's been enhanced to 9-2. This is a four means more match as well. So if you have a bet on the four main markets and it's a winner, you will get a 15% free bet bonus here with William Hill. And it's amazing how quickly negativity can turn into positivity. And there can be overreactions in the Premier League. After a couple of games, there was a thought that Rafa Benitez might walk, having not been given the leeway he expected in the transfer market. But he's turned things around quickly with three successive wins. And it's a bit like baseball at the moment. We talked about Liverpool's series with Leicester. Brighton have had their little South Coast scuffle with Bournemouth and have lost both games at Dean Court, one in the league and one in the Carabao Cup. Derek, Newcastle, Brighton, almost inseparable as far as the bookies are concerned.
New bookies are saying they don't know what's going to happen. Welcome to my world, bookies. I don't know. It's a tough one to call. It's probably a persuasive case to stay in bed until Monday. Super Sunday, it definitely isn't. Brighton played 3.5 hours of football against Bournemouth in the last 2 days and scored only one against them. And so that's a very good reason right there not to back them. You want a second reason? Well, Newcastle beat them home and away last season in the Championship. Three wins on the sprint for Newcastle. You know, that's only two fewer than Middlesbrough won all last season and only three fewer than Sunderland. And I know what you're thinking. Sunderland won six games? I don't know how that happened. I'm tempted by the draw here, but it's the Rafa Benitez effect. This has got opposition that Newcastle will think, oh, we can win this. Well, he did it twice last season. And I just love Rafa. I'm always prepared to back his teams. I'm going to go for 7-4 Newcastle, but not with any degree of confidence.
Newcastle, the pick for Derek. If you're looking for a goal scorer here as well, Jamal Lascelles has scored in each of his last two Premier League appearances for Newcastle United. The only defender to score three in a row in the competition for Newcastle is Stephen Taylor. That was back in May 2011. That stat coming from Opta. And Jamal Lascelles to score anytime, 10-1 for a player that scored in his last two Premier League starts, could look a little bit tasty. Andy, your thoughts?
This is getting a worrying trend. I'm sort of agreeing with Derek again, although not on his love affair with Rafa. But as Derek said, they won both games last season. They're in better form. They're the better team. I think it's Newcastle. It's as simple as that. I'm really nothing more to say. It just seems dead simple to me.
Oh, I'm against you both. I fancy Brighton in that game, so we'll see when we come to the Naps later on. Arsenal versus West Brom finishes the weekend, Monday 8 p.m. Arsenal 1-3, the draw 4-1, West Brom 8-1. Enhanced odds, Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win was 13-8. That's been enhanced to 2-1. And Jay Rodriguez to score and West Brom to win was 11-1. That's been enhanced to 16s. Such is the nature of football, Andy. The majority were expecting Arsenal to roll over last weekend against Chelsea, but they showed steel without two of, in their recent history, their most influential players. Neither Alexis Sanchez or Mesut Ozil featured. And if Sanchez's performance against Doncaster Rovers midweek is an indicator of his future application at Arsenal, he might find himself on the fringes.
Well, yeah, although he's probably going to get a way back in this week because Welbeck's out by the look of it. So that's probably his route back in. The intriguing thing here is that it was a bold selection last weekend, and it's intriguing what he's going to do this week. Again, it's another trap fixture because West Brom, that's a big price, 8-1. They're not a bad side, and they're being priced up like a bad side. And Arsenal have improved in recent games, but I still think there are only one or two results from all the doom mongers coming out again. Although, as I said, I wasn't that surprised by last weekend. I thought Arsenal would give Chelsea a game. Thought they had a chance of winning, and they probably should have done. So, I want to say Arsenal, but I think at the prices, you'd go with West Brom.
8-1 West Brom. If you want to be slightly more cautious, West Brom plus one in the handicap market is almost 2-1, 19-10. West Brom plus one in the game, which could be worth a look. Derek, let's take a moment here to celebrate Gareth Barry. He could become the outright leader in terms of the most Premier League appearances ever should he play in this match. He's currently level with Ryan Giggs on 632 appearances in the competition. And to put that into context, Arsene Wenger was in the early stages of his second year at Arsenal Football Club when Barry made his first appearance in the Premier League. Gareth Barry, Derek, celebrate him now.
Yeah, well, I think his debut was when Bertie Mee was in charge of Arsenal. I mean, it's been going that long. That said, when he was so abysmal against Brighton a couple of weeks ago, that he was actually I saw him in conversation after the game with that lawyer, Mr. Loophole, and he wanted to get away from West Brom. That's how bad they were. Yeah, he's been fantastic. Well, I can't, apart from a spell at City when he wasn't really a regular, I can't remember him winning too much. All those years in the game and his trophy cabinet, like Everton's, he's just got a trophy rucksack. That's all he needs. He's been a good player. He's been a consistent Premier League player without ever hitting the heights. And yeah, well done to him for making a million appearances, but I don't remember that many of them. Still there.
What about this game?
Jesus, when you're back at 1-3 poke, I want it to be basically home and hose, and in a Premier League, you're never home and hose when West Brom are come calling. Not that West Brom are a great side, but they're just one of those horrible teams that upset the apple cart, that can wreck your coup. And it's Arsenal at 1-3. I mean, God knows how much they've spent building a squad, but Wenger's realised with those couple of players he's got there, one thing you can never buy is team spirit. Another is a dinosaur. I just don't trust Arsenal at 1-3. Last season, this fixture finished 1-0 for Arsenal, and he needs an 86-minute winner from Olivier Giroud to get that. That's the kind of match it's going to be again. I'm tempted to go unders on the goals, but I actually do think that 19-10 West Brom with a goal start, given that Arsenal are not the Arsenal of 3 or 4 years ago, they're being priced up still as though they are. They're a far cry from that. They're a deeply, deeply ordinary side, Arsenal, right now. And 1-3 is a bit of an insult to West Brom, which I don't mind doing. I'm quite happy to insult West Brom. But from a punting point of view, I think there's a bit of value there. 19-10 with a goal start.
Oh, pats on the back this week for Pete Farris, who ended a three-week losing streak with Ipswich winning at 21-20. And the Euro boys picked up their first winning nap since the opening week, with Udinese plus two landing to lift them off the bottom of the table. Al Ross leads the pack with plus £27. DK is second at plus £13.33. And the rest are below the line marked profit.
Come on, chaps, it's time for you two to pull your socks up a little bit and give us a couple of nice priced winning naps. Derek, I'll let you lead off this week. Have you checked out the 3pm fixtures? Is there anything you like the look of?
Yes, there is. You poo-pooed my wasn't a winning nap, it was a drawing nap last week, Huddersfield. They should have won, because morally they won.
Could have, should have.
3-1 Huddersfield to win a Burnley. I'm going to go for that.
How the mighty have fallen. He's claiming moral winning naps now rather than actually ones that put you in profit. Huddersfield 3-1 is Derek's pick for the naps. Andy XL.
When he said he couldn't sign a dinosaur, I thought we're paying him. Stoke, again, at home to Chelsea.
9-2 Stoke.
Again, like I'm saying, I don't think Chelsea are all that at the moment. I think all the talk's been about how troubled Arsenal are. People keep overlooking. They don't look brilliant at the moment. And Stoke at home, I'd always take a chance with that. So Stoke for me.
And not just because I want to take you two on. I'm going with Brighton at home against Newcastle at 17-10. I think there's been a slight overreaction to Newcastle's form, and Brighton at home are generally a different proposition. So I fancy Brighton to halt Newcastle's winning momentum this weekend. Stoke, Huddersfield, Brighton, 9-2, 3-1 and 17-10 respectively. The Knapp treble this weekend on the Punt Podcast pays 58.4-1.
Now at William Hill, you can get your bet onto the website for featured matches. If there's a bet you fancy that's not on the app, just tweet with the hashtag #YourOdds to @WilliamHill, and the traders will try to price it up. Hashtag #YourOdds from William Hill.
Now, it's a pleasure to be joined by the chief football correspondent at The Times, Oliver Kerr, who is on the line now alongside Derek McGovern. And first of all, a warm welcome. A good afternoon to you, Oliver.
Thank you. Good afternoon to you, though.
And I want to start this chat by talking about Everton Football Club, who have endured a difficult start to the Premier League campaign under Ronald Koeman. The Dutchman has expressed his wish for the fans to be patient, but that's not the way anymore in modern football, Oliver, as we've seen with Crystal Palace recently.
Well, yeah, I think things can change very, very quickly, and you know, a few bad results can put a manager in real bother. And I think it's all very well Koeman saying, you know, be patient, but he will know. He will completely understand that he needs to get results, having spent as much money as he did over the summer and as the club did over the summer. I mean, yes, they lost Lukaku, and I don't think they've even begun to replace him. I think it's bizarre that, you know, the lack of goal scoring potential among the new signings, but it's that was for the club to address. They had a long enough run up to replace him. And I think what would concern people, concern fans, concern anyone really, is that they're just so slow to watch. It's a team that's without pace, and I'm not saying Lukaku was devastatingly quick, but the players he's brought in, the three of them, Klaassen, Sigurdsson, Rooney, are to play behind him. You think, well, surely you need more pace, more incisiveness, more penetration than they've got. Even if they hadn't lost the leading score, I think the lack of pace would be a concern. But it's been strange. Although I would say that they have had a difficult run of fixtures, and things will surely improve over the next few weeks.
Derek, what are your thoughts on Ronald Koeman? Because he came to Everton with a huge reputation. Oliver's made the suggestion there that he's not strengthened in quite the right areas in the transfer window. Is that something that you'd endorse?
Yeah, he's basically Steve McLaren with a less believable Dutch accent. There's a golden rule in football, and I think we all know it. Never appoint as manager someone with the face of a pumpkin. Well, Everton have ignored that and are paying the price now. I mean, with the previous managers, you could see an approach, no matter how successful or otherwise they were. David Moyes, it was draw ugly. Roberto Martinez, lose with style. You can't see a pattern with Koeman. His pre-match team talk seems to be, OK, go out there and get on with it. They're going nowhere, Everton. Yeah, they have had a tough run of fixtures. and they do get easier. But you can't see Everton beating anybody at the moment. I mean, there's an awful lot of Everton fans who are, you know, totally underwhelmed by Ronald Koeman. Well, they'll accept that as long as they're not under Liverpool. That's their main concern. 22 years since they won a trophy, Everton. 12 Doctor Who's ago. Their only glimpse of silverware in that time has been a Dalek. Things are not going to get any better under this man. He's short odds to leave Goodison at any stage this season. The normal time to leave Goodison is 15 minutes before the end, by the way. I just can't see him lasting it because he hasn't got the fans on his side. He doesn't seem to have the players on his side. And I can only see, and he, you know what he seems to be? He seems to be like a man who's just waiting for something better to come along. There seems to be no commitment from him, and that seems to be transmitted to the players as well. Something is seriously wrong in the state of Everton right now.
And it has been a tumultuous time at the club with Wayne Rooney as well, given a 2-year driving ban. Oliver, and ordered to work for 120 hours unpaid as well, 3 times over the legal limit. That's obviously not helped.
No, I would think Derek would have much better one-liners on that one. I mean, you know, the Rooney situation is, you know, that is not clever at all. It's not good from any point of view, and you know he'll be relieved that he got off as lightly as he did. But it's not a good situation at a time when that they'd wanted to sort of sugarcoat his homecoming and say it was, you know, this great, you know, the kid who left there as a boy has come back a man and great role model and all that kind of thing. You know, it doesn't help, does it?
Someone said that the 6 points he's picked up for his driving offence at least it puts him 2 points above Everton. I thought Rooney was diabolical against Man United the other night. He was just the other day rather, and I don't think it's been a successful return. The press seem to be telling us otherwise, but I don't think it's going to work for him there at all.
I think a lot of the press have been sceptical about it. You know, certainly I've been sceptical about it just from that point of view of you know, where is he going to fit into this team? You know, isn't what they really need pace and you know, a born goal scorer and you know, somebody who's going to get in the penalty area, which he wasn't doing towards the end of his Man United career. He'd even said, you know, I'm not able to do that anymore. I want to play deeper. And you know, they seem to have a surfeit of players who can play that deeper role. So I think there'd been, you know, plenty of scepticism about it. He came back, scored on his debut against Stoke, and the headlines were all a lot more encouraging. Scored at Man City, but I think reality has kicked in over the last few weeks. And it's not just Rooney. It's the sort of the strange strategy or lack of strategy behind some of the signings. I mean, they've made some good ones. Keane and Pickford, I think most people think are good signings. Sigurdsson, good player. Ramirez, I keep hearing great things about his raw talent, but it's, you know, I'm just not quite sure what Everton are meant to look like. I mean, Koeman from the Cruyff school, from the, you know, Van Gaal school, he seems to have taken his inspiration from the Van Gaal team of Manchester United 2 years ago rather than the famous Cruyff Barcelona team.
Ronald Koeman, by the way, next Premier League manager to leave, is into 11-4 here with William Hill, only one man ahead of him in the sack race, and that's Slaven Bilic, who is 2-1 favourite. Moving on, let's talk about Rio Ferdinand, because there's been a mixed response to his announcement that he's going to step into the ring as a professional boxer at the age of 38. Some clearly believe that it is his prerogative and that boxing has clearly helped him in his personal life after the death of his wife. So why shouldn't he, Oliver? Does it damage the integrity of the sport of boxing? We've seen McGregor step into the ring against Mayweather recently as well. What do you make to Ferdinand announcing that he's going to be or have a professional boxing bout?
Well, it looks like a publicity stunt, you know, a publicity stunt from the, you know, the people who are behind it and probably a discussion where Rio Ferdinand was talking with his people, you know, what can I do next? What would be a good, you know, thing to forward his media career, forward his post-playing career? And it looks like it's come from one of those conversations rather than, I mean, I've never heard him talk of boxing during his playing career. I might be wrong, but it just seems like one of those things where you think of a TV program and it's not quite Alan Partridge, you know, monkey tennis and stuff like that. But it's, you know, it's, you know, Rio Ferdinand becomes a boxer. It's just, it's, I think it's become a TV documentary before it's really crystallised as an idea. So as long as all goes well for him, as long as he doesn't get injured or anything like that, I've not really got any great interest with it for that reason. Mm. So publicity stunt.
And did you feel the same way, Oliver, when McGregor fought Mayweather?
I didn't. It was probably the boxing fight that's interested me least over recent years. I mean, if people want to read or find out about a really good story about the reality of somebody leaving football and becoming a boxer and throwing themselves into that, they should read Curtis Woodhouse's book, mm-hmm. Which is fantastic. About me, people might not remember him, but he was ex-Hull and Sheffield United and a journeyman player and a journeyman boxer, but he was deadly serious about it. He has made the point that you can't play at becoming a boxer. You've got to mean it, because it's such a high-risk profession. His book or his story, I think, will be more interesting, more enduring, I suspect, than Rio Ferdinand's future in a boxing ring.
Derek, your thoughts?
Well, he started two sparring sessions and already he's rated higher than Audley Harrison. So he's made a promising start. He's also got to be careful of his looks as well, Rio. He doesn't want to be damaging them, does he? The thing about it is that if he does ever get in the boxing ring, and he won't, because we all know it's a publicity stunt, he knows that if he gets in the ring, he'll always beat the count, because if it reaches 10, there'll be added Fergie time. So it's not no problem. If he did conquer the heavyweight division, he could enjoy all the reward it offers, like a part in The Hangover 3 and third place in I'm a Celebrity. So let's wish him all the best.
Hello, my name's Pete Farries and this is my Championship nap of the weekend, having finally got back going with Ipswich last weekend. Preston are 10-11 to beat Millwall, a price that I've got to say I think looks very, very good. Under both Simon Grayson last season and, of course, Alex Neil so far this season, they've been very, very good at home. 3-0 and a 1-1 draw, of course, against Barnsley so far means that Deepdale is a tough place to go. Credit to Millwall, got themselves a relatively late last 20-minute victory over a talented Leeds United side, but away from home, only scored in one game so far this season. Admittedly, it was twice in their last game away at QPR, but how on earth can you back Millwall here? A side who, superb at the Den and are very, very difficult to go to, but when you welcome them, are often, I think, a decent team to back against. Preston are definitely, for me, the best match-betting victory of the weekend. So 10-11 Preston North End to win in the Championship. But let's hear from Gav Puszczalowski and what he's got to say about League One.
My nap selection from League One this weekend pits the surprise package against the overwhelming letdowns of last weekend. I'm talking Shrewsbury at home to Blackburn. Shrewsbury, top of the table, 22 points, played 8, won 7. Who saw that coming at the start of the season, that Shrewsbury Town would be leading the charge in the middle of September ahead of Wigan and Peterborough and Bradford, all left in their wake? They are 3 points clear, top of the table, and they are 2-1 to win at home to Blackburn, who let us down last weekend with a defeat at home to Wimbledon. Shrewsbury, quite simply, are too big. Their home form is good anyway, solid last season, and at home, their last 15 games at home, they've only lost two, so even Shrewsbury draw no bet at 23-20 is a play. This is Shrewsbury, who are going great guns and have beaten the likes of Wigan at home already this season. Now, normally, as a rule, Shrewsbury win and unders. It tends to be 1-0 at home, Shrewsbury, against the big teams in League One, of which Blackburn are. So Shrewsbury to win and under 2.5 goals at 9-2 is a play. Nap selection, Shrewsbury at 2-1 to win at home to Blackburn Rovers. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
Given it's really frustrating when only your nap of the four or five picks you make every week is the one to let you down, as has happened twice in the last month on this podcast, let me start with Swindon at Forest Green on Friday, a value. Exeter, a great value at Coventry. A draw between Colchester and Wickham is great, great value. A draw between Stevenage and Morecambe is greater value. Notts County to beat Lincoln is greater value. But the greater-est value this weekend, I think, is Accrington. You have to go back to February for the last time Cheltenham won away. That was at, since relegated, Leighton Orient. And it's like the Midlands acts in a similar way to the Wall in Game of Thrones, because Cheltenham's record outside of the South reads 1 point away from home in 2017. That was at Crewe in January, during a spell where Crewe only picked up 3 points in 11 games. Now, bear in mind, Colchester have lost 4 out of the last 6 games at any venue, including their own, and that several first teamers are carrying knocks. It's surely an awful team, therefore, that would be odds against to beat them when they are at home. No. Accrington are third, 4 wins in 5, at home 5 wins in 7 so far this season. They are 9 points and 18 places ahead of their visitors. And Billy Key, who has scored in 6 of his 9 starts this season, is somehow also odds against to score. But a side who've already beaten pre-season bookies favourites Mansfield and Championship Preston on their home turf this season should not be 6-5. And that makes Accrington the Knapp. Whoa!
Al Ross there not quite beating the music bed, but we will let him off for the Game of Thrones reference. They are always welcome on this podcast, as are you. Thank you for tuning in to William Hill's Punt Podcast ahead of the weekend's football. Do check out all the betting on the William Hill website by going to williamhill.com, or you can have a look on the William Hill app as well. Download this podcast weekly via audioboom.com by typing in William Hill, or you can catch us on iTunes. And if you're having a bet this weekend on the football, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.